Hey, come down there and join you, but the light's better here, so. We got a little bit of a late start tonight. I guess we watched the Super Bowl until the last second. Some time ago, I brought a message about Joseph. Joseph, how did he do it? Joseph was a throwaway person, an alien, in a nation where he had been made a slave and then unfairly made a prisoner for 13 years total. And yet, he became second to Pharaoh in Egypt and saved the lives of a lot of people through good stewardship of food crops. How did he do it? During those 13 years, we remember that Joseph's human sources failed him. I'm sure that Joseph wanted his family to rescue him. I can imagine that he had hoped that finally his brothers would break down and confess to Dad what they did. And Jacob had considerable means. He could come down and buy Joseph's freedom, but it never happened. The brothers continued to, you know, live their life. Second, Joseph's employer failed to give him justice. Now, it's true, the boss's wife was involved, but she's the one that was telling the lies. Potiphar had a lot of time to think about and remember Joseph's sterling performance, his integrity, his honesty. And I really believe, you know, if a slave were to violate a captain's wife, he would have been killed. Why did Potiphar not kill him? Why did he just put him in jail? I think Potiphar knew more than just nothing. So I think he could have helped him, and he didn't. Number three, Joseph did not get any help from a friend who owed him a favor. The cupbearer owed him a favor. Well, he, through God's intervention, he interpreted the cupbearer's dream, and Joseph said, "Would you remember me when you get back into your office?" And the cupbearer didn't do that. During those dark years, Joseph had to deal with internal discontent. And sometimes that can be pretty challenging. What a person says with internal discontent is that it's your job to make me happy, and my fulfillment depends on your performance. I would be happy if you were doing better at doing what I want, but you aren't, and so I'm not happy. Really, no one can make you or me happy. No amount of blaming someone else and demanding that they serve me or you to make you look good or to entertain you or whatever is going to be the answer to your quest for happiness. Your happiness is between you and God. Your answer is in you as you work with God on your issues. We discover that really no one else can make me happy. But you can make them miserable if they don't try to make you happy. Joseph triumphed over internal discontent. Had he positioned himself as a victim in relation to any of his situations in Egypt, he would not have triumphed. Joseph had to work through this issue. And there are times when even the best of people can't help you, not to mention the ones who don't care. By choosing God for his source, Joseph did triumph over internal discontent. When God finally does answer, when God finally moves, what happens? What can we expect? And there are 11 things, and I have 18 minutes. We'll do what we can do here. We'll do our best. Number one, when we call on God for help, God's answer often takes longer than we thought we could wait. Have you ever had that happen to you? You think that, you know, it's going to be over 6 months from now, and then that's all that you can tolerate and stand, but your answer doesn't come until 9 months later. There are those times when God's answer comes past the point where we could stand it, or so we thought. We say, I can only bear so much, and it will be past there. Why? Is he being unkind? Is he just playing with us? Why doesn't he answer in our comfort zone? Wouldn't it be nice if he did? Like now. There is a divine timing in God. There are reasons why things happen when they happen, and we are not told. Remember Job. Things happened in his life, and he wasn't told about the discussion between God and Satan. After 11 years of being a slave and being in jail, Joseph saw his opportunity, the cupbearer, to get free. Instead, God made him wait 2 more years. I think one of the best ways to deal with this is just to pray and ask God, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? I had to do that myself here recently. And it worked. I got an answer, and it was quick. And it wasn't a situation where God just instantly jerked me out of the situation, but he gave me grace to function within the situation until the time was up. But he gave me a reason why I was doing what I was doing. He said, you're doing this for me. And it worked. God will never fail you, but you will grow in the process. Number two, God's answer when we call for help will be imperceptible sometimes until he finally acts. And sometimes he does it in little pieces and all of a sudden there's a big finish. There may be no visible notice that help is coming until it arrives. You look on the horizon and say, God can't help me out of this. God can't save me out of here. There is no one who can help me. I am absolutely trapped. Wouldn't you say that was Joseph's situation even 24 hours before Pharaoh called for him? You know, it looked that way. But Joseph's answer, you know, God was working on Joseph's answer already. Number three, God's answer will reveal that he has been at work in your life long before you realized it. Isn't that neat? God's answer will reveal that he has been at work in your life long before you realized it. When and where did Joseph's rescue start? It was actually 2 years earlier when he interpreted the dreams for the baker and the cupbearer. That's when it really started. But did Joseph recognize that that was the beginning of his deliverance? No. In fact, when the cupbearer forgot him, actually it looked worse. But Joseph didn't know that. Don't be surprised if your deliverance begins the same way. The widow in Zarephath first cooked a cake for Elijah. And she was so sure that it was over that she said, okay, Elijah, I'll cook a cake for you and then we'll die. Because she was already planning to cook a cake for her and her son with the last of the flour and then die anyway. But God intervened. God gave deliverance. And she was surprised. Rescues often come disguised. You will look back after your answer has come and realize that things meant nothing to you that meant nothing to you before were actually part of your rescue, part of your provision, and you didn't even know it. Nobody could have humanly discerned that Joseph's rescue began with the butler and the baker being thrown in jail. Number four. God's answer will reveal that God has his own timetable. God's answer often has us wait for the precise moment. Now this is a hard thing to accept, and Joseph had a date to become premier of Egypt, but it did not happen even 24 hours sooner than it was supposed to. Why did God have Joseph come to Egypt anyway? The scripture said later, so that he could preserve life. That was Genesis 45 and verse 5. There is a moment when God will deliver, rescue, and answer you, but not until then. And you will know why all of this has happened. I think that's a great boost to our faith, is that we don't know why, but we will learn why. So someday it's all going to come together. Sometimes we think that if we say it just right, or do it just right, that he will have to answer on our time. But no, it's still in his time. But again, he will give you grace while you are in sorrow, while you are in the challenge. Sometimes we say, but God, I don't want grace, I want relief. Sorry, we have to wait on the Lord. But we will get grace until it's time for deliverance, and God's timing is perfect. Number 5, God's answer will involve God's power and ability to intervene, including, if necessary, miraculous power. We can be assured, comforted, have our faith strengthened, that God does not require human help. Quite often he does use natural circumstances and or other people in his answers, but he doesn't have to. Sometimes he intervenes directly, but he will always cause his will to happen. We can be assured of that. In Joseph's case, he intervened miraculously. In one day, Joseph went from being a throwaway person with no social or economic standing to being the vice president of Egypt with great wealth at his command and an entire army of men who would fight for him. That's pretty impressive. And all it took was 3 dreams. The baker, the butler, and Pharaoh's dream. Joseph's family could not have brought this about. There was no guarantee that even a war with another nation could have brought this about. But God did it all with just 3 dreams. He is so smart. He can answer your problem in a heartbeat when he wants to, when the time is right, and he will. Remember the scripture that says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Number 6. God's answer will be greater than we can ask or think. There's a passage in the New Testament that talks about that. Paul said that he was confident that God could answer. He said so many superlatives there. Abundantly above all you can ask or think. I can't quote it exactly, but quite often God does not do things in a small way. He did not just barely get Joseph out of jail, had him put on parole and gave him one set of clothes or something. He convincingly removed him out of jail to become the second in command overnight. No human ambition. Can you hear Joseph saying, Daddy, I want to become premier of Egypt? No human ambition can get Joseph there. No human ambition by itself can get you where you belong. Yes, we have to put effort into what we do, like the teaching about the ant in the book of Proverbs, that we're not supposed to be sluggards. But God has to create and direct the path. It is not always where we want to be, but it is where we belong. There is a calling and a purpose for each life on this earth, and God will lead and place each one of us into what we were called for. I've had that happen in my own life. You know, I love trucking, tractor trailer driving. And when God shut the door, He shut the door. I haven't driven for 11 years. So He has other things for me to do. Number 7, God's answer will often have a purpose that goes far beyond you. This is exciting. We are not the end. We are just the means. In Genesis 50 and verse 20, the brothers of Joseph were afraid that after Jacob's death, Joseph would try and get revenge. So they said, you know, in 20th century or 21st century English, Dad asked you to be nice to us. Verse 19, Joseph said that he was not in God's place to deal out justice. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So God's answer for Joseph had a purpose that went far beyond Joseph. He wanted to save the lives of thousands of people. And He used Joseph as the administrative means to bring that about. This wasn't about Joseph finally getting a promotion and rescuing his self-esteem. God didn't put him there to feel good about being Joseph, but because He had a huge job for him to carry out. When God answers you, elevates you, rescues you, promotes you, establishes you, you will find that it often involves many people. Number 8. God's answer, when it comes, will change our perspective on the hard times that we went through. I find that very comforting. Genesis 45:5, listen to how Joseph viewed his history. There was a change on how he viewed his capture, his slavery, and his imprisonment. That's when he was telling his brothers, you know, you meant it for evil. I'll just read that real quick here. Genesis 45:5. Well, verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. Then God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all of his household, and ruler over all of Egypt. So it changed Joseph's perspective, and it will change our perspective on the hard times when we get through. Be careful how you grumble. Be careful what you say in the middle of hard times, because we are tempted to make accusations against God or to make cruel, angry statements that come out of our mouths, because there will be a day when we will want to eat those words. When the answer comes, it will be easy to look back and say, whoops, God was maturing me, God was cleansing me, God was strengthening me, God was training me, and I grumbled my way through the whole time. Yes, I myself have grumbled too. In the midst of trial, it's easy to grumble while God is trying to raise you up to be a servant. Incidentally, He does not waste one thing in your life while He's doing this. God doesn't waste a single thing. And then when you finally do see God's answer, you will know. So be careful how you grumble. You will be sorry for the words later. Number 9. When God's answer comes, it will change your attitude towards the humans who failed us, or who failed you. Genesis 45:7, we just read that. Joseph was speaking to his brothers. These are the ones who earlier debated whether to kill him or not. Now they're facing him. Finally, they decided to sell him into slavery, their own brother. You know, it would be easy to be bitter people really do betray us. They cut out the support that we need. They hurt us deeply. Sometimes try to do us bodily harm. But notice how his attitude toward them changed. Remember, he had the power to kill them. In verse 11 of chapter 45, he went on to tell them his plan. He said, "I will feed you." While he was in the pit, you know, waiting to be sold, did they feed him? Joseph was going to protect them after years earlier they failed to protect him. What a change of attitude he had. You know, the things that he went through prepared his heart so that when he finally did get the power that God gave him, he didn't use it to say, "Gotcha." That's something I think we should be aware of too. In chapter 50, it also goes on to say that Joseph comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That's when Jacob had died, and they thought that Joseph was going to get mad at him once again. Okay. Number 10. When the Lord answers us, it will prove that He is the only source we need. The emotional turmoil, the anger, the bitterness, the grumbling are all symptoms of doubting God. Having our eyes on God is how we get through the frustrating, miserable, painful, tiring circumstances of life with a minimum of stress. I am not encouraging isolationism here or an "I don't need you" aloof attitude. It is a focus within. It is a faith thing. The person who does not look to people with a needy, greedy, "you're my source" attitude is able to love and serve them like the one who is focused. Let's see here. I didn't word this very well, but if someone is not looking on others with a needy, greedy attitude, then he can love and serve them. Otherwise he couldn't. Excuse me. Faith in God as our source moves us away from looking at people as a collection of goods and services to be managed and harvested. And you've probably seen people that act that way. So looking at them as opportunities to meet needs and share the word. It frees us to be loving, giving, kind, merciful, and forgiving because we didn't need them. You know, like this craving need. God gives us all we need. If we become arrogant and aloof with this, we have misunderstood this entirely. We are still team players. We're still brothers and sisters in the family. It comes down to where the heart looks. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Number 11, my voice is going. Our faithfulness in seeing God as our source will lead us to say, if God is this good now, what will it be like in eternity? You know, we've seen Him perform here. We had faith. We looked upon Him as our source because He really is. And then when He comes through and we get that answer and that deliverance, we think, wow, He did this now. What's it going to be like in eternity? It's going to be even better. Amen.